All right, ladies, welcome once again to your Venus Index podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and today, once again, John Barbin's on the line. We're going to be talking about picture taking and how to actually present yourself in the best way possible so that you can win the Venus Index contest, either the transformation contest or the open division, which is going to be really interesting, to say the least. So, John, I know we've got a lot of questions, especially when it comes to if women can buy different bikinis.
Oh, yeah. Well, Alicia's been bugging me about that. So, yes, of course you can wear something different. You don't have to say wear the same stuff. And I have on the post, I'll have some pictures of a friend who's done a few fitness shows in just some pretty basic poses. And so there'll be some examples of how to pose. Kat actually has a really good pic. I noticed somewhere in her, I don't know if it was her profile pic or she just posted an old pic, where she's in a really good pose too. So, Kat, if you took it down, could you put that pic back up? And if everyone hasn't seen it, go to Kat's profile and find it in her blog somewhere. There was a good pic. And so some of it, like we said before, the standing just straight on facing the camera is pretty boring, and you'll never see a model actually doing that. So I took a bunch of pictures with Becky. Becky's incidentally one of the models in the original Venus exercise gallery. She's quite muscular, but she was training for competitions, in particular federations that required a whole lot of more muscle. Plus, she's genetically rather gifted as far as that goes. So, so in the pictures I did with her, we just went through a series of relatively casual poses. But I'll put a few up for examples of how to pose and how to present. We're not gonna. You can do whatever you want beyond the stuff we put up and the standard front, side, and back. And we're not going to go through the traditional bodybuilding poses. That kind of doesn't really make any sense for girls. So I don't really know why we would do that. You can do them if you want, but it's nothing that we're actually really going to be judging on. So that's kind of up to you. As far as bikinis or as far as whatever you wear, get whatever you want. If you want something new, you clearly don't have to be in the same thing in your befores, and especially if you're in the transformation, we're hoping you're not. We're hoping you had to get something new. So, I mean, and that's a good thing, right? A lot of the guys had to completely get a whole new wardrobe. So, I mean, that's always a good thing. That's probably one of the best rewards. The best ways to reward yourself is to get new clothes. So, and then finally, the heels also really helps. You'll never see all competitors are judged in heels in all fitness figure, any of those type of shows, it's always heels. So, but that's up to you. Whichever kind you want to wear, and however you want to present that. And then, after that, we're getting a lot of questions about lighting and things like that. That's kind of you have to figure that one out as you go. You're going to find a spot. You don't have to go way out of your way. You don't have to set up lights. You can if you want to, but you're not really going to want to buy lights and stuff. Like we actually have really powerful light bulbs and various lighting standards we have set up for various photo shoots. So there's no necessity to go to that degree. Most people are already aware of a spot in their house where they just kind of they show up better, and we've told the guys the same thing. Like I said, having side lighting where it's kind of right in front of you, 45 degrees to your body compared to where the camera is. So imagine if you were facing a camera, and then right next to the person who's got the camera, there's a light, and it's kind of hitting your body up roughly on a 45 degree angle. That can help show off various shadows, curves, and angles that wouldn't normally sort of be picked up by the camera. That same effect can be caught just by standing next to a window where light's kind of pouring through the window. So it's kind of, you got to work with that a little bit with you and your camera person. If actually having a light that you can manipulate is too much of a pain, it's a lot easier to just work your way around an existing light source like a pot light or a window. A pot light from directly above works pretty well. It casts some good shadows. Again, a lot of this works for the guys. It works for the girls as well. It just depends how much shadowing you're trying to capture with the lights. So it's a bit of a trial and error. Everyone's going to have a spot where they kind of already know where it looks best. So I would just say go there. As far as the background, the plainer the better, but it's not critical. It doesn't have to be the identical background as last time. Again, we don't want – try not to have a lot of stuff in the background because it just distracts from the picture. So as plain as possible is best. But if your best light source is somewhere – if your best light source in the house and where you show up best happens to be where there's a lot of clutter behind you, some of the guys did something really clever. They just threw up a black sheet and just pinned up a black sheet to cover up everything behind them, so they stood out. So a black or white sheet would do really well, and you'd show up really good on that. So I recommend doing that.
Yeah, cool. I mean, and the other thing is that surprise and or you know, goofy photos are encouraged liberally. So
yeah, a lot of some of the guys did that too. They did some they did some joke photos that they sort of released afterwards. So. You can do that as well.
Yeah, if you want to do joke photos just to help put a grin on your face and get you in a good mood and do those, yeah, by all means, put them in. Obviously, we're not going to put them up, but they're always kind of fun to check out and stuff like that. So
and take some shots with more lighting in the room, with less lighting in the room. Like, kind of mess around with it, and you'll see it. It does make quite a difference. So besides the lights that are right on you, you can add more lights to the room. Maybe that might be where you grab a few lights from around the house and just sort of put them in the one room just for the time of the shoot, just to see what they do. So when we do shoots, we do that too. We mess around with, like, once we're in a location and we've figured out how the lighting works, it's sort of, once we've got it, we kind of know what we're doing, but it takes a bit of time to mess around with the lights and the positioning until you actually know what you've got. And again, like, and that's with actually having quite a bit of lighting like that we have at our disposal, and we're not really expecting you to have that much lighting apparatus, really. So if you've got lights around the house, you know, a couple lamps that you can move around, bring them in and just see what they do to you, do to your shadowing and your look. But it's, you know, it's as much effort as you feel like putting in without overdoing it. And again, it's lighting from above and lighting from angles right in front of you. And you can get relatively close to the lights. So when we did some of those pictures with Allie, the lights are very close. Like, she's only a foot or two away, and it's when you're that close to a light, it changes. Like, as you get closer and further away from the light, it really does change what it's showing off. So you can be very, very close to the light, and that's it, depending on how powerful the light is.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, it's really weird every time I buy new lighting and stuff like that to shoot videos. It just always seems like it never goes the way I want it to.
No, like one of our lighting rigs is just a long tube fluorescent light bulb. You know, those really long tube ones are, like, you know, I don't know, like 3 feet across. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, but we have it on a sort of a vertical tripod stand, and then the light just hangs vertically, and it's two of those. And that's actually what Allie's standing in front of in some of her pictures. And that's how we picked up all of that shading and how it really cuts the outline of the body and then brings out a lot of definition. So, yeah. And so she's just standing in front of one of those. And then we just messed around with the light. Like, and then the regular lights in the room were just on. But when you go and stand in front of one of those things, it really brings a lot out. So, but I mean, so we're not expecting you to go build one of these rigs. Like, that's something we've had for previous photo shoots when I was working with some supplement companies, and they're kind of always at my disposal. Plus, we have, like, that in that room, we had two 500-watt light bulbs, plus those, plus a few others. So we messed around with multiple light sources. So, again, we don't expect you to go to that degree, I'm just trying to explain to you what we've done. So if you can find a few lamps in your house and bring them in and, you know, just play around with it, spend an hour or two and just see what you come up with.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It's always the weirdest thing. Like I say,
if you're looking at yourself in a mirror and you see some shading or you see, like, you kind of see what you like, the camera's going to see the same thing. So the best judge is yourself with a mirror too. So, I mean, obviously, if you have somebody with you who's judging, who's kind of looking at it, they'll be able to see as well. But you can be your own judge by just having a portable mirror around with you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I mean, some of the best pictures you take may just be the ones that are outside.
Yeah.
You know, like Jason on the other side had a couple at the beach and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, just...
Oh, Jason's best. Some of Jason's best afters were on the beach. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be pigeonholed. I mean, we're just kind of trying to give you some ideas. I mean, ideally, you know, at least a couple of them will be on some type of black background, mm-hmm. you know, which would be ideal just because that kind of gives us a kind of a common, you know, a thing to look at everyone across.
Right.
But I mean, other than that, I mean, you know, have at it.
Yep.
You know, because, you know, eventually, I mean, you're going to want to decide. I mean, the whole thing is that the ones on the black background might not necessarily be the best ones that kind of display you as a person. So, you know, we want to have some common ones, but then again, I mean, you know, you're going to want to have other ones too, because, I mean, let's admit it. I mean, you're showing off, right?
Oh, yeah. Get a bunch of outfits too while you're at it. I mean, yeah. Might as well. If you actually are going to spend some time getting some lighting together, do a bunch of stuff. Take a bunch of pics.
Yeah, I mean, and call some girls over and have some fun with it. I mean, you know, drink wine. I don't know what you want to do, but whatever makes it fun.
Yeah,
you know, you know. I mean, that actually might not be that bad of an idea, is actually have kind of like a little posse to and like a little party, because I mean, you know, you've got some friends that just know you better than you do as far as what looks good on you, what doesn't look good on you. I would probably suggest not to necessarily ask your man, because he's probably not going to tell you the truth. That's just me. He's probably gonna say, "Oh, but baby, it all looks good on you."
Yeah, it's that whole thing's kind of touchy. Like, it's obviously, I mean, and trust me, you can, no matter what shape a model is in, you can. There's a way to take a picture to make you look terrible too.
Sure.
Like, even, I mean, like, no matter what photo shoot you've seen, like, if you see a model who's got, you know, like a guy or a girl, fitness competitor, and they're completely six-pack ripped in their pictures, I guarantee in that exact same photo shoot that same day, there's a picture where they don't look like that at all. Like, right. In my photo shoot, there's some pics I don't look like that at all. Like, it looks like it's months away, like, from that. Like I said, it's the camera exposure, it's the lighting. So, and since this isn't a live show where we're physically right in front of you judging you, God, that sounds bad, judging you. But when we're not right in front of you, like, assessing, it behooves you to take the best picture possible. That's why we're coaching everyone on taking a best picture. So spend some time. And you don't have to spend an inordinate amount of time, like, not days and days at it, but a couple hours messing around with the lighting. You'll figure it out. You'll end up in a position where you're like, oh, I get it. This picture's a lot better than the last, you know, five. And then work with the lighting that looks best.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of shows and stuff like that and judging, you know, have we told people kind of what we thought about back? I don't know, what was this, maybe 3 months ago, about actually having live shows? We talked about that at all?
No, maybe, I don't know. We'd like to get to the point of a live show, maybe if it progresses to that.
Well, yeah, but the argument was that, you know, all of these shows, I mean, so. Like women's bodybuilding at the very beginning started out being, you know, kind of a Venus look, right? And then, you know, but then it got steroidy and kind of bumped
like,
up.
Like before the steroids, back in like Rachel McLish's day, like I put her up as an example in one of the podcasts before.
Right. And so then the fitness came in, right? And then, so fitness was supposed to be what we're talking about right now. But then even that got
too big.
To where it was too big, too lean and all that stuff. So then it went figure. And now figure is transitioning, so now they have bikini. So it keeps taking a step back, but every level keeps stepping higher, I guess you could say.
Oh, well, so you guys saw Tori's picture, and Tori was in great shape. She didn't come in very – she didn't place very highly in that show. And the big girls that beat her were just bigger and more muscular and more ripped. But, right. I mean, she's already – really lean and really much, like, it just keeps going that direction. And it even depends, which federation you're competing in. Like I said, Becky, the pictures you'll be seeing this week, she competed in a different federation, and she kind of scanned the different federations to see which ones she could compete in, here in Southern Ontario. And certain ones look, they kind of tell you if you go on their website and figure out as a competitor what you want to go to. Some of them want more muscle, some of them want less. So she went to the one where the amount of muscle she's carrying would benefit her as far as placing, whereas other ones didn't want as much. But like Brad, you said, they just keep progressing to bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, there's gonna and it won't be long till bikini goes that way, and then there's gonna have to be one behind bikini to replace it. So the problem is they don't have, and this is where I think we're just far superior than everybody else, and why you guys are awesome for being with us, is they don't have a metric. They don't know how to judge these people. They just they like we've got the VI index, and then from there, what can you do while you stay in that index? So, I mean, one thing is getting to VI. Another thing is manipulating the look of your body while you're at VI. Like, can you be leaner at VI? Can you be slightly more muscular at VI? Can, you know, like, there's not, once you get there, there's still more stuff you can do with yourself. But with these type of shows that Brad's talking about, all it is bigger, leaner, bigger, leaner. It's the same as male bodybuilding. There's no...
Well, that's the only way you can improve.
Well, that's my point. Well, they don't, you know, because they have no other metric. They don't know what they're kind of looking for.
Right. So yeah, that's the whole point. I mean, the fact is that, okay, so how does it's kind of like, you know, the funny thing when we talk about, kind of to change the subject, but it's relative. When we talk about why calories matter and stuff like that, and, you know, one of the big reasons is because you can't, let's say we'll pick on low carb, right? Not because we won't like picking on low carb, but just because it's just there. I mean, you can't go more low carb if you're already low carb, right?
Yeah, so
it's kind of the same thing. You know, that's why, you know, there's calories there, because then, you know, if you stagnated then and you're low carb, well, you know what the next thing you need to do
is. It's missing the real target.
Right. So that's the same thing we're talking about on this end, is that, you know, it's, you know, what if a specific look is what you're looking for say a bikini, but if you don't have that look defined explicitly, you know, the only option you have is to go leaner or to go bigger.
Or both.
You know, or both.
Like if they lose the bikini competition, they're like, well, why did I lose? Oh, it wasn't big enough, it wasn't lean enough. And then they just start looking like the figure and then the fitness and then the bodybuilders all over again.
Right. And so it just kind of keeps progressing. So that's
like what I would do if we did a live show was make the ratios like the number one judging criteria, and then whatever condition you can get in while still in your ratio.
Well, yeah, it would almost have to be where that would be first, and if you weren't at the ratio, you'd be disqualified right off the bat.
Well, I don't know about disqualified, but the point is you're going to lose. points for not being, like, that's the way I would do it, and then that would select out for everyone who gets too big.
Sure. Yeah, and granted, we're kind of just going with the flow on this and kind of just free thinking,
but
you know, those are some of the big, you know, disadvantages and holes that we see just in the industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's no specific nothing there's no end for anything except what we're doing.
Well, there's three levels of competition that have all
transitioned
overdone
up.
Overdone it, so they've added in a fourth, and like it probably won't be long till they add in a fifth.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, at each stage, there's the only other thing you can do is use drugs.
You know? To try to win, yeah.
Right, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's not a get prettier drug.
Yeah, well, one of the girls that beat Tori went to our gym, and she's a big girl. Like, it was clear that she was enhanced. And,
sure.
And she had a much more male sort of muscular, she had a more Adonis pattern of look than a... She was a lot less feminine looking, at least in my perspective. So I don't know. If that's what was going to win the show, then I think Tori should be happy as hell not winning.
Yeah, like, I wonder. You know, I wonder if it'd be interesting just to have a show where, like, people were judged by, like, just regular people. You know, instead of by you know.
Oh, I see. I always thought that would be better. I always thought that, like, having judges who were in the know. It's because if you've ever been to one of these things, everyone can tell who's the best looking, who's the best in shape on stage. It's obvious. Like, as soon as they walk out, you're like, oh, that's the person right there. So, but then judges get all caught up in, I think if you know too much about it, you actually have like a skewed view of it. Plus it's political. Like the show I judged, I know for sure two of the judges were also worked for one of the companies that sponsored two of the athletes who ended up winning and they shouldn't have. So it was dirty, and the competitors knew it. They're like, F, whatever. They compete just to compete for themselves, and they know that sometimes the results don't reflect who actually should have won. So
yeah, my buddy Byron's saying the same thing. He's like, yeah, I was in a lot better shape than the other guys, and you know, I came in. I think he came in like third or something. He goes, man, there was one guy there that should have beat me, but everybody else, I don't know if it was politics or what. But,
oh, it is.
And of course, everybody always screams politics when you lose. I mean,
dude, I was a judge. And I was a judge at the show, and I can tell you it was.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying, but sometimes you don't know what really is politics and what's just people claiming politics.
Well, I mean, Yeah, without having the first-hand knowledge, I'd be like, yeah, I would think that. But since I was actually there, and I actually, two people I thought should have were the hands-down winner didn't win, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, because afterwards the competitors come down and ask, they're like, well, what happened? And I'm like, well, I had you first. I don't know what they had, and I wasn't gonna actually come right out and say it, but they kind of said it without me. They already knew, because the industry gets small, like people know each other, and I told them, I'm like, well, you know, whatever, I picked you, and then I realized how bad of an idea it was to agree to be a judge of a figure competition, because I don't know if I've said this before, but basically I was gonna be critically evaluating a group of women who were in phenomenal shape and somehow still pick them apart. So me and one of the other judges were good buddies. And I'm like, dude, this is a terrible idea. We're going to make one girl happy and we're going to piss off 20 others. We got to get the hell out of here as soon as this thing's over. And well, think about it. Like, these girls are in amazing shape and I'm like finding things wrong with them. So I was like, I thought it would be cool. And then as it's going along, I'm like, this is a terrible idea. And then afterwards, they, you know, but the thing is, those, and you're all going to experience the same thing as you kind of become a lot more comfortable with your control over your body. They're all pretty confident with their bodies. So they just came down and they're like, hey, just give me a critical eval of what could I have done to improve. And so it's kind of awkward. There's this figure competitor standing in front of me in a bikini. I'm like, well, really? Her butt was tighter than yours. I mean, that's how she won. And she's like, yeah, that's what I figured. She's like, I figured I was about 3 weeks away. And that's it. And there's nothing else to be said about it. It's not like they're going to run home crying. They just knew. And again, they're still in great shape. They just wanted to sharpen up. So, I'm not going to lie to them and just tell them it was something that it wasn't, because they already, and it usually turned out to be exactly what they thought.
Sure.
Yep. So
yeah, that's pretty funny actually. I could see it, because I know how you are. So you know, there aren't many people who have seen you out in public, so that are listening to this. But I know how you are. You're kind of you're kind of raw, and so.
Well, but the whole situation there is raw, right? Like this is like right after, like the one girl who came down who was clearly the winner, and ended up in second, and she's like, come on, seriously? And I'm like, hey, we had you first, but the other judges had, like,
right.
She kind of knew what was going on. Like, the one girl had way more cover deals. She was been on more covers of magazines, had way more contracts too. She was kind of like the next thing. Mm-hmm. And this was literally just a prep show for a bigger photo shoot she was doing somewhere else. And she kind of just rolled her eyes. She's like, as if I couldn't win this show. And I'm like, well, you know, I wouldn't put too much stock in the result here. So she knew she was in the right shape, and also recognized that you can't really rely on what the judges say, which I guess the moral of this entire story is this transformation is about you. It's not about you beating anyone else. Our competitions are obviously to provide a venue and structure and a place where everyone can support each other and something to shoot for and a goal and like all of that stuff and all that, you know, we're going to give money away and all that stuff. But the point is obviously to create the best you, not you versus anybody. So just keep that in mind all the time, because no matter what level you're at, that's the same way you have to approach it.
Yeah, it's interesting, because every time we put up new pictures and photos and new winners and stuff like that, I mean, usually the person who comes in first, it's pretty obvious most of the time. I think only one time it was really, really tight. Mm-hmm. The rest of the time is pretty obvious, but then it kind of gets mucked up in between like 3 and 6. And there's always lots of discussion, you know, on the blogs and stuff like that. Oh, such and such should have won. Oh, such and such. Oh, he should be higher than him. And, you know, and it's going to happen on this side too at the same time. So just remember, we do the best we can to kind of, you know, pick them. We don't really play favorites or anything like that, but it's hard.
Yeah, it's the last one was like really hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
that's why for the next, at least on the guy's side, the next transformation, the previous winners are going to be invited to be judges for the new transformation contest.
Yeah, and we'll do that too on this side. So for the women, I mean, if you win the transformation contest and or the open contest, so if you put, I think it's top three. Mm-hmm. If you win any spot in any of them, You get to judge the next transformation contest, not the next open contest, but the next transformation contest.
As long as you're not in it.
Yep. Right. As long as you're not in it. So if you come in, like, let's say, sixth place in transformation contest, well, yeah, you have an option to, you know, judge next time. But, you know, from what we've seen in the past, the person that comes in fifth or sixth this contest is the person that comes in first in the next contest.
Mm-hmm.
So in transformation. So it usually takes, I don't know, call it weird, but it just seems like it takes two transformation contests for a lot of people just to get in crazy shape.
Yeah, depends how far they're coming.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So what might happen is if you come in sixth or whatever, what you might find is that you're going to be in the running for, you know, first place for the next contest. Because you got to keep in mind, I mean, the next contest is going to start exactly 4 weeks from the end of
this one.
So if you've got some momentum going, it might behoove you to not even try to pause or anything like that, unless you just burn out, maybe take a week off, because it cranks right back up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way we can run three a year, is it has to be that tight. And in order to be able to take from Thanksgiving into New Year's off, mm-hmm. roughly. So
then the other half of this whole talk is the water deplete, carb load, all that stuff. That is borrowed. All of that is borrowed from male bodybuilders, and I guess female bodybuilders at the top levels. You got to remember, all of that manipulation was even created, thought up, experimented with, and done with the use of pharmaceutical enhancement. So right off the bat, you have to know that. So any version of it that you'd even want to experiment with is going to be much less dramatic, because the concept at all of doing that comes from people who are using pharmaceuticals. So if you're taking things like, I'm not assuming anyone's doing this, I'm just speaking theoretically. If you're taking things like insulin or various anabolics or diuretics, that's where these sort of items, these water deplete and carb load and all that stuff, that's where they actually have massive and acute differences, where hours later things really start to change. So if at our level, when we're not talking about pharmaceutical enhancement, it becomes less acute and less obvious and less effective, I guess you could say. So if you're not taking a drug caliber diuretic, you're just not, the water deplete is not the same. If you're not taking something that's going to stimulate, like insulin, the carb load likely isn't going to do much. So that's to be said off the bat. It doesn't mean it may not do anything. It just means that the dramatic effects may not show up. Also, it's usually used by people who are very low body fat percentages, like all showing six pack men and women. So again, it may not, for the look that we're envisioning anyways, these sort of things may not be as critical. But again, you know what your best look is as you monitor yourself along the way here. So you know what you look like in the morning. You know what you look like after a weight workout. You know what you look like after a circuit workout. You know what you look like after just long cardio. So you know what you look like after a meal, after a 24-hour fast. Like, these are all looks that you've probably kind of at some point categorized along the way, and you kind of have an idea. I'm sure there was a moment where you're like, oh, you know, I look lean right there. Like, that's the leanest I've looked in a few days. And you might have already pieced together what it was that you were doing that got you into that look. In most cases, a lot of people look their leanest after some amount of fasting, either just an overnight fast or at the end of a 24-hour type of fast. So, and then even then, having a meal may or may not change that look, even in a more lean look, or might blur you out. So again, it's, some of this is body fat dependent, like how lean you are will change how much it shows up. And some of it is whether or not you've really been paying attention to it along the way, but you probably have at least some idea of your look. So for your final picks, we always tell people to try a few days of picks and kind of take your best one, because since this isn't a show where we're judging you like on a stage, the show is Saturday at 5 p.m. So that's the date. That's the moment you have to look your best. Since you don't have to do that for this, we suggest that you take two or three days of picks and just mess around with all of this sort of stuff and see which ones are the best and then send us those. Now, do the after pick with the newspaper each of those days, just so we've got that categorized. So since we're not going to know, since you're not going to know which round of picks turns out the best, just make sure you have the paper each day for those 3 days. And then you can do a 24-hour fast. Now you can just, I don't know that there's really a specific time of day where it would work better, like as in an 8 a.m. to an 8 a.m. and then take your picks in the morning, or an 8 p.m. to an 8 p.m. and take your picks in the evening. Either way, try a 24-hour fast and see what you look like at the end of it. You may or may not want to actually exercise at the end of that fast as well. And then after that's done, you may also want to try eating and then taking another set of pictures after that, see what happens. And depending when you take that, when your fast ends and when you take those pictures, kind of like once you've been eating again and then have one more sleep and then the next morning, take pictures again that day and see what happens. And you'll end up with various looks. And that's essentially the difference between a depleted state, which would be the fast, and your sort of carb-loaded, so to speak, state, which is just after eating. You don't have to really do a specific meal. I know some fitness models who they do a water deplete, and then their loaded-up meal is just a standard mixed meal where they go out for a steak, something that's relatively high in protein, relatively high in fat, and not all that high in carbs. And they seem to – now, this is a guy, mind you, but it seemed to be his best look always turns out after that meal. So – you know, go figure. No, but that's for him trying to have really full muscles and really thin skin around the muscle. And, you know, he may or may not be on something more than you can buy in the legitimate markets. So let's just say it that way. So that recommendation may not necessarily translate. But again, it's one thing that seemed to work for him. And each person may react differently. I've talked with enough different models that it's not necessarily consistent from one person to the next, and it probably has to do with the way you've been eating all along and all along during your cutdown anyways. So I would stick with what you know has been working. I wouldn't try to stray too far from the foods and meals that you've been eating along the way anyways. The other thing with the fast is you can, if you do want to test out what it looks like being very low on water, you can start your fast the day before you're actually going to start fasting, start upping your water content, like drink a lot of water. And basically just kind of, anytime you think of it, just keep forcing the water in. It's a little tedious, but it's only for a day. And then once you start your fast, maybe halfway through it, also cut your water. So the last 12 hours or so, you're not having any water either. So that would be maybe a 36 hour. So 36 hours out, you start overdoing it on water, like taking in lots of water, then so after 24 hours of drinking a lot of water, so 12 hours, so essentially 12 hours into the fast, you also cut your water. So the last 12 hours of your fast, you're also not having any water, and then that can produce basically a diuretic effect without taking any kind of diuretic. And at the end of those 12 hours, you should be relatively low on water, and then that might be one of your tighter, leaner looks. So yeah. that would be one way. That would be one way to do it.
Yeah, actually, one of the things you didn't even cover that a lot of people take are the cancer drugs or the anti-estrogens that really pull out.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You didn't even talk about that. I mean, that's
yeah. There's different things there. We're not going to really get into that because no one here will be doing that. So
yeah, but in the spirit of full disclosure about what's going on, I mean, that's just understand. I mean, if you're looking at yourself in the mirror and again, we've talked about it time and time again, how you shouldn't compare. But if you start rolling in your head how you're comparing yourself to somebody in a magazine or whatever, just understand there's, you know, four or five things that they've got access to or that they're willing to do that you're not.
And a likelihood of genetic predisposition to being closer to that look and shape to begin with.
Yeah.
So, and then I'll couple that with the training and maybe a few drugs, and then that's why they end up on the cover of a magazine and with a seemingly unattainable body.
All right. So I guess that about wraps it up. You got anything else?
Nope, that's pretty good. And if this sounds a little choppy, we had some technical difficulties while we were recording this, so it got a little messed up there.
Yeah, so we'll have to piece it together, but hopefully it sounds all right for you guys. Well, I guess that's about it. So that's how you take pictures and have some fun. Again, John will have some examples up on the blog that you can take a look at. So for John Barber, I'm Brad Howard, and that's your Venus Index podcast.